It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 73 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
We are on the brink of a release of a new wave of X-Wing. X-Wing Wave 11 comes out this coming Thursday, July 13th, and with it, three new ships to the game of X-Wing.
Yeah, we got the Azatok Wookiee gunship, the Imperial TIE Aggressor, and the Scum Skurg Bomber.
So this week, we're going to focus on some final thoughts before we see the release of these new ships. So let's get to it. Since a lot of stores already have all the Wave 11 expansions on hand, they're just waiting for the official release date. Of course, we have people who got access to these ships early and started spoiling the remaining cards and letting us know all the cool new stuff coming in Wave 11.
Yeah, most of the cards from this expansion were spoiled in the Fantasy Flight preview articles, but cards like the Cruise Missile, the unique Salvage Astromech, and the TIE Aggressor's maneuver dial were not spoiled in these articles, but now we have access to these. So let's talk about them.
Yeah, I wanted to start by looking at the TIE Aggressor's maneuver dial, because this was maybe the biggest secret piece of unknown information going into the release. And I think it was very important in the discussion when we're talking about lists with four twin laser turrets, whereas currently the gold standard for twin laser turret lists is four Syndicate Thug Y-Wings and twin laser turret and unhinged astromech on them. A very durable list, maybe not always the tournament winner, but a persistent force that generally performs pretty well in a lot of the game's metagames over the last couple waves. But challenging it now potentially was the TIE Aggressor, which has the turret slot, comes in a little bit cheaper, has a lower hit point total, but can get up to three agility dice if you use the lightweight frame upgrade card. A lot of people have done math here trying to figure out, okay, who's going to average out more damage and take less damage? But a big piece of that information is not really just the math of it and the attack dice, defense dice, but also its ability to position itself.
Right, so right now the Y-Wing is ahead on the damage race, but we'll see if this maneuver dial gives it an edge against the Y-Wing.
Yeah, so the maneuver dial for the Aggressor, based on this leak information we've gotten so far, which seems reliable, it's got a decent dial. So one thing we talk about in X-Wing is this idea of dial creep. As the game has advanced, dials on newer ships tend to be noticeably better than comparable ships from previous waves or earlier waves. So we were both expecting, we talked about it on the show, we were both expecting this dial to be good. And I would say it's good. We've got one straight, one banks, all the standard two maneuvers, all the standard three maneuvers, a four straight and a 4K, and a healthy selection of green maneuvers. The one, two, and three straights are green, as well as the two bank maneuvers.
Obviously, this is better than a stock Y-Wing dial, a lot better. But the question remains, is it better than an unhinged astromech Y-Wing dial, where all those three-speed maneuvers are turned green, which on the Y-Wing turns their three red turn into a three green turn, really opening up that dial?
Yeah, so that's the real comparison there. And there's a lot of comparable maneuvers between these two ships. They both have a 4K. One advantage that the Aggressor has over the Y-Wing is that the four straight on the Aggressor is white, whereas the four straight on the Y-Wing is red. But it really does, I think, come down to those green maneuvers. Obviously, you've got the two banks are green on the Aggressor, but I don't think that is even close to the versatility and usefulness of having all your three-speed maneuvers, including the banks and turns, green with the unhinged astromech on the Syndicate Thug.
It is a little bit more complicated than that, because without having that red four forward, the TIE Aggressors aren't going to be stressed as much as normal Y-Wings are, so they're not punished as much by not having all the greens that the unhinged Y-Wings have. So it doesn't matter that their turns aren't green.
And I think you can go a step further, because you got to look at their action bar, too, here, in combination with this dial. Having those three turns is huge, especially with the barrel roll. That gives you a lot of mobility. And I think as a squad, if you're flying these in a cluster, I think they'll move as a group very quickly, compared to the Y-Wings, which kind of have their set speed threshold and no repositioning actions.
Right, and the TIE Aggressor does still also have like the one forward, which is surprising for a TIE fighter, but I think that's really helpful on the twin laser turret to have that wide range in speed of maneuvers, because you really don't want your opponent to get in that range one donut. So you have to anticipate your opponent's maneuvers and set the right dial. And so having a wide range of speeds makes that harder for your opponent to call where you're going and land within range one. So being able to threaten a one forward or a four straight, I think is pretty advantageous there. And then, of course, you can further modify that with the barrel roll.
I would say overall, the aggressor dial is strong. I'm actually a little bit surprised because I fully expected it to be even stronger than this. I'm kind of shocked that we didn't see an additional turnaround maneuver on top of the 4K. I thought we'd see some kind of sloop or talon roll or something at this point, just based on the precedent been set by the last couple waves. But overall, I think it's a pretty strong dial. We still have to wait and see if this ship is going to make a significant impact on the metagame. I don't really have strong feelings about that one way or the other right now.
Yeah, for me, I think the Tigressor's obviously more mobile than the Y-Wing with that barrel roll. But if there's a lot of stress in the meta, then there are fewer green maneuvers in the Y-Wing, I think, will be held against them there.
Looking at point costs on these ship, though, another thing I would consider is with the base cost for the pilot skill 2 generic on the TIE Aggressor is 17 points. So if you put a twin laser turret on that, that's 6 points on top. So a base cost of 23. You can throw lightweight frame on and bring it up to 25. The base cost for a twin laser turret Syndicate Thug Y-Wing is 18. So putting the twin laser turret on there brings it up to 24. What I think is interesting for list building is that if you're not running four of these, if you just want to run one or two, having that 23-point cost on a ship that can do a decent amount of damage with the twin laser turret opens up some interesting list building potential, because I feel like the Imperials have a pretty wide range of point costs to play with. You've got things measuring down from the low 20s with the TIE Striker all the way up to the ace ships we see in the mid 30s to late 30s. So I think there's a lot of versatility for list building here. So I think there might be a lot of application for a TIE Aggressor with twin laser turret to fit in a lot of different new list types.
Yeah, and I think for the Aggressor, it's nice to be a little bit on the lower end, because once you get to the higher 20s, then they have great pocket ace options.
Like Omega Leader with Juke and Comm Relay for 26.
Right, so I don't think the Aggressor wins many list-building battles against Omega Leader. But if you're a little bit cheaper, then there's some options there for you.
We saw some other cards leaked in this expansion. One of them was one we had most of the text on. Cruise Missiles appears in the H6 Skurg expansion. We already knew it was Cruise Missiles just because of the way the text was revealed, and we had about half of the actual card text, but now we have the full text leaked. Cruise Missiles is a 3-point missile upgrade. It's got an attack value of 1, a range of 2 to 3, and it reads, attack, target lock, discard this card to perform this attack.
Wait, why are we reading this? It just does 1 damage. Why do we even care about this card?
Well, Carson, if you let me continue, the second half of the text says, you may roll additional attack dice equal to the speed of the maneuver you executed this round to a maximum of 4 additional attack dice. So we're looking at potentially 5 attack dice missile.
If you go speed 4 or 5?
Yes. So I think this is kind of an interesting card design-wise, because so a lot of the complaints we've had in recent waves, stemming initially from Wave 8 when we saw the release of the Contracted Scout Pilot Skill 3 generic for the Jumpmaster, this was a very efficient torpedo platform where you could put Deadeye on there initially before they changed Deadeye to small base only. You could get a good torpedo like a proton or a plasma torpedo. You had guidance chips to provide some modification there. Then you had the Astromech R4 Agromech or overclocked Agromech, both different ways to get focuses so that you can trigger that Deadeye and then either spend the focus to get a target lock or spend the focus and take a stress to get another focused with overclocked. What this ended up being was consistently you'd get in the first volley of fire to fire off a bunch of these 4 attack dice torpedoes, and they would be able to consistently generate 3, often 4 hits or crits.
Right, so Cruise Missile's going to have a little bit more variation in how effective it's going to be. Because I don't know, I think you're always going to get that 5 dice missile off, but you do also have that special text of not spending your target lock when you fire it. So you're already getting built-in modification, and just with a target lock reroll plus guidance chips, that's pretty good modification.
Yeah, so even if you just perform a 3-speed maneuver, you get this guy up to 4 attack dice. You get to keep your target lock, which is great, so you can use that to modify your attack dice. And you're likely running this on a ship with guidance chips, so you'll get some decent modification.
Right, and you obviously can't run this on a Jumpmaster because somehow they don't have a missile slot. but you can put this on the new Skurg, Z95s, TIE bombers. A lot of interesting choices there.
Well, and a lot of the discussion around this card has been stemmed from, is this the new contracted scout? So FFG has, over a couple different FAQ updates, modified cards to make the contracted scout torpedo boat less effective. We first saw a change to R4 Agromech so that when you spent that focus to fire one of your ordnance, you didn't get a target lock because that wasn't part of the same interaction. We saw changes to Deadeye after that, to make it small base only, which makes the contracted scout a lot more difficult because you have to set up target locks to try and fire your torpedoes off. You don't have that same problem with the Skurg because the pilot skill 3 lock Revenant comes with an elite pilot talent, and since it is a small base ship, it can take Deadeye. Deadeye, of course, allows your ship to, when you're instructed to spend a target lock for a secondary weapon card, you can instead spend a focus.
Right, and then on the cruise missiles text, that means instead of having that target lock left over, you're going to have a focus token, which you don't need to spend, so you can spend that to modify your attack.
Well, and more importantly, you don't have to pick a target. So when you target lock someone, you're going to shoot at that ship. Whereas with Deadeye, you can just take a focus, and then whoever happens to be in your arc, you can choose to shoot any of those ships.
Well, and I think Deadeye is going to be particularly important for cruise missiles because that threat at range 2 to 3 of a 5-dice potential pretty modified attack means people are going to really want to try and get into range 1 or stay out of range 3 against your ship. But that's going to be, I think, pretty difficult for their whole list to get past that speed barrier.
Yeah, more than likely one of your ships is going to fall into the range of those Deadeye, Skurg, Ordnance carriers.
Which means if you take Deadeye, then you're not calling out one of their ships. Whichever one falls into range 2 to 3, then you get to fire your torps at that. Because often, especially with these pilot skill 3s, you're going to be moving first and not being able to anticipate exactly where your opponent's ships are going to land. So, like, taking a target lock on one ship to fire the munitions is not going to be as effective of a strategy there.
Yeah, and so I think a lot of the fear people have going into Wave 11 is that are three of these Skurgs with Ordnance going to be the new contracted scout? Kind of a negative experience playing the game because no matter what you do, it seems like they can get you in arc. Looking at the point cost, it's kind of obvious why people look at this. The contracted scout is notoriously point efficient, where you could get a fully loaded out Ordnance contracted scout for around 31 to 34 points. The Lock Revenant, which is the last pilot from the Skurg expansion that has been leaked, is a 26-point pilot skill 3 generic with an elite pilot talent slot, which is important because it can take Deadeye. So if you load these out with a loadout that's comparable to what we saw on the torpedo end of the contracted scouts, you can get Deadeye, extra munitions, cruise missiles, a bounty hunter, so say a Boba Fett or a Forlom or a Zuckuss, and then guidance ships, all for around 33 points.
Well, and let's not gloss over Boba Fett there too much, because Boba Fett was a popular crew choice on contracted scouts with the proton torpedo getting that crit. But even then, there was still some volatility where maybe you didn't roll any focus results, so you couldn't get the crit to trigger. But with the Skurg, they have a primary weapon value of 3, meaning guidance ships is always going to turn a result into a crit on any of those munition strikes.
Yeah, and I think that's one distinct advantage that this ship has over the contracted scout. Guidance ships, of course, if you have a primary weapon value of 2, you can change a die result into a hit. If you have a primary weapon value of 3 or more, you can change a die result into a crit, which means that if you throw Boba Fett on one of these Lock Revenants, you're definitely going to generate a crit if you shoot.
Yeah, and I think this is going to make the Skurgs the premier Boba Fett delivery system moving forward for Scum.
Well, and if you can get this cruise missile off after performing a 4 or 5 speed maneuver, like, there's a good likelihood that you're going to generate a crit just on those 5 attack dice. So you can add an additional crit, and this thing's going to be devastating to ships that have a lot of hull, like the Decimator.
I think it's going to be devastating to any ship. Nobody wants to take 5 hits. But yes, those meaty, big base turrets, which have a lot of hit points to chug through, Decimators, Ghosts, obviously rolling as much damage against them as possible is huge.
So, Carson, do you think that Lock Revenants with the Ordnance loadout are going to cause as much of a problem in the metagame as Contracted Scouts did back in Wave 8?
Well, so that's not an easy, simple question, because that initial Deadeye Scout still had more accurate torpedoes.
Yeah, there is a volatility there where if your torpedo rolls 2 blanks, you're only going to be able to convert one of those blanks with guidance chips, which is going to cap the amount of damage you can do.
But the potential to roll 5 dice torpedoes is pretty terrifying. So that definitely something the contracted scouts could never been able to do. I think the deciding factor is really going to be how difficult are these cruise missiles going to be to get off at the 4 or 5 dice values.
Yeah, and I think this is, we've talked about speed control before in your setup as you're kind of making the first approach and deciding where that first engagement's going to be. Cruise missiles are very dependent on you being able to perform a pretty quick maneuver without getting in too close. If you move in too close and your opponent gets to range one, you're not going to be able to fire off that 5-dice cruise missile. So you have to very carefully gauge how fast I want to move so that I can drop that 4-speed or 5-speed maneuver and get my opponent's ships into range and drop that 5-attack-dice shot. Now, of course, you don't actually have to run cruise missiles on here. Cruise missiles comes in at 3 point, which is pretty cheap for an ordnance that will often do 4 or 5 attack dice. You could also drop in something like a concussion missile, which are pretty efficient. They can change a blank result into a hit result, but they are a little bit more expensive at 4 points.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to disagree and say that cruise missiles are more accurate than concussion missiles, because I think the holding on to your target lock is better than changing one blank to a hit. When you have the guidance strips modification, I think there's more scenarios where having that target lock reroll is more effective. And I think the 3 point versus 4 point difference is huge for this Gurg. It's already coming in at 26 points base value, which is more expensive than the scout platform. So it's hard pressed to get all of the efficiency packed in. You could cut extra munitions to get more expensive torpedoes, but then you're only firing one torpedo. And so then you're gonna have to rely on those 3 attack dice primary weapons. Or you hold on to those 3-point munitions. You have either the plasma torpedo or the cruise missile. And I like the cruise missile because it does have that extra efficiency in having that target lock reroll.
Or just the focus if you're running Deadeye. There's some versatility here, though. If you're running a couple of these, you can kind of tech them out a little bit, too, where most you could have 2 of them run cruise missiles and 1 of them run plasma, since they're all firing at the same pilot skill order, if you need to drop a bunch of shields on a big ship right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you have one of those with Boba Fett, your first ship fires a plasma torpedo, strips down the shields, and then the second one with the Boba Fett cruise missile, that's a lot easier to get Boba Fett to trigger there.
And that would be definitely meta-dependent. If you're not seeing a lot of big ships that you want to drop the shields on, like Ghosts or Decimators, you're probably going to want to run cruise missiles on all of them. But if you're going to see those low-agility ships, then there's a good chance that you're going to be able to drop more than you would with just a standard cruise missile.
Now, where I think I really like cruise missiles is where you get a lot of them. So 3 Skurgs with cruise missiles, and you stagger your approach, where you're not going to probably get all 3 of them to fire, but it's going to be very difficult for your opponent to be able to dodge all 3 of those cruise missiles, meaning they're going to be hit with some 5-dice attacks.
Well, yeah, and we were looking at some builds here where you're running the 3-lock Revenants, where you can go Deadeye Extra Munitions, cruise missiles, and guidance chip. You can do one with a Boba Fett. That comes in at 33 points. You could do another one with 4 LOM. That comes in at 33 points. And then you could do one with the Havoc title, which is 0 points and gets you the system slot. Drop a fire control system on there, so you're going to get target locks after you fire. And if you do that staggered approach and you put that fire control system one towards the lead, even if that one gets too close, it can catch a target lock in one of its primary weapon shots. And then you could perform a talon roll. And if you happen to catch them at range 2 to 3, you're going to be able to fire off a 4-dice cruise missile. And since you probably already have a target lock with fire control system, that's where you can get that. And then you have the modification too to spend it, since you don't have to spend it to fire the missile.
Yeah, and I think the fun with cruise missile doesn't just stop at the Skurgs. I think a bunch of Z95s with these really appreciate the drop down from 4 or 5 point missiles down to efficient 3 point missiles. And you can get a bunch of Zs with cruise missiles. And that sounds really terrifying.
Yeah, they do have that 4 straight maneuver. So you could do that same kind of staggered approach where you're going to get several of your Z95s firing off with these cruise missiles.
Right. And you could even use tracers in combination. So maybe one sets up the tracer and then all of them shoot target lock focus cruise missiles. You could, if you're playing scum Z95s, use some scavenger cranes to get those back. I also like cruise missile on A-Wings, where the usual go-to has been proton rockets. But here, cruise missile opens up fun munitions options where you don't have to get into range 1 to fire it. You can keep your A-Wing at a little safer distance. Because usually when you went for the proton missile attack, you're kind of all in. Okay, hopefully I burn you down because your shot back might destroy my A-Wing. Cruise missile lets you put your A-Wing in a little safer spot and still be able to fire a pretty powerful attack.
So here's a list you could actually try out if you want to go to the good old-fashioned Z95 swarm. you can get a Lieutenant Blount, which is pilot skill 6 and has the pilot ability when attacking. The defender is hit by your attack, even if it does not suffer any damage. This is important because I've loaded him out with Veteran Instincts to get him up to pilot skill 8. XX23 S-Thread Tracers, which when that attack hits, all friendly ships near you can acquire a target lock, and guidance ships to modify those S-Thread Tracers. And then 5 Talos Squadron Pilot Z95s at pilot skill 4 with cruise missiles and guidance chips.
I'd hate to be the pilot skill 3 Skurg player against those.
For a potential of 20 attack dice in that single volley.
Well, I hope you destroy whatever you're trying to fire at.
Yeah, that is the problem with Z95s. If we don't happen to kill enough things, then those 2 attack dice ships aren't going to be able to do a whole lot for us.
But if you get that early advantage, then the value of the swarm becomes a lot more powerful.
Something fun, maybe worth trying. Hey, Radio TCX listeners. Time for a quick Patreon update. We're ready to announce our July raffle winners. This month, we have 2 Bryans taking home the prizes. First up, winning the set of 6 alt art upgrade cards from various tournament kits is Brian Christiansen. I think it's Christiansen. I haven't seen this spelling before, so forgive me. But he's from Alberta, Canada, and he has won this collection of 6 alt art upgrade cards.
And winning the acrylic Agent Callus token from this year's store champion kit is Brian Shannon from Reno, Nevada.
Congratulations to both of the Bryans for winning this month's raffle. If you're interested in being eligible for the August raffle, we'll be announcing the prizes for that probably next week. Please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show at any level.
And thank you to all of our current patrons.
And now, back to the cast. So the last card we're going to look at here is the leaked, unique, salvaged astromech upgrade. This is R4E1 and comes in at 1 point. And this card reads, you can perform actions on your torpedo and bomb upgrade cards even if you are stressed. After you perform an action in this way, you may discard this card to remove 1 stress token from your ship.
Right, and so this card is important for shoring up some of the Skurg's dial weaknesses in bombing, where it does have a lot of red maneuvers, particularly on maneuvers where you might want to drop bombs with those 3 turns or 3 Talon rolls. Being able to drop a bomb after that would be pretty sweet. And so for 1 point, you can have access to that.
It's important to note that this will affect your action bombs, so bombs you activate when you're performing actions, things like Connor nets and proximity mines.
Or seismic torpedoes.
Yeah, you can also get a seismic torpedo in there if you need to drop that while you're stressed. I think this is kind of an interesting card, especially for 1 point. I think it's a pretty fair cost here. And like you said, it does really open up your options on the Skurg. Being able to drop one of those 3 Talon rolls and drop a bomb is a pretty powerful ability because the Skurg's already got a really great dial.
And of course, you have the option to get rid of the droid to clear that stress, which is pretty nice, especially in a pinch.
Yeah, it would be fun to drop that where you perform the Talon roll. Do the Talon roll, discard this card to remove the stress, and then perform the same Talon roll again the next turn.
Yeah, that's pretty spicy. I think you could get probably the most value with this card, where you're taking the pilot skill 6 Skurg that lets you use the 1 turns to drop bombs as well. Or now you're going to be very unpredictable with where you're dropping those bombs.
Obviously, you can only get this on 1 Skurg since you need to take that Havoc title in order to get the salvaged astromech upgrade. But there's a lot of interesting potential there for versatility in bombing.
Do you think this will be used anywhere else outside of the Skurg?
Well, you have to look at ships that have access to the salvaged astromech. A Y-Wing wood with a bomb loadout has never been a terribly effective option, so I don't see a lot of usefulness there. I do think there is some potential for a Cad Bane Jumpmaster of some kind, and then using this in order to allow you to perform that bomb action. But I'm not sure if that's the most effective way to run a Jumpmaster right now.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be just use on the Skurg.
At least for the time being, I guess.
Right, always. We can't predict the future.
All right, so there you have it, a look at some of the leaked cards from the upcoming Wave 11. If you're excited to play with these, you don't have to wait much longer. They will release on Thursday, July 13th, and we are excited to try these out, start theory crafting some lists. If you guys come up with any interesting or cool lists, please share them with us either on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast or on Facebook. We'd love to see what you guys are going to come up with.
Are Skurgs the new Deadeye Scouts? Yay, nay, let us know.
We are still in the middle of a store championship season. We didn't have anybody send us a message this week, but if any of our Radio TCX fans happen to win a store championship, please send us a message either through Facebook or Patreon letting us know what store you won at and what your list was, because we'd love to share that with the rest of the Radio TCX community.
Yeah, and hopefully next week we'll be able to share your victory at Level Up Games, Tim. Defend the title.
I'm not too optimistic, but we'll see. I'll try my best.
I believe.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why others might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to San Squand Rebel, who left us a review on iTunes saying that the episodes were well edited and engineered and always had great up-to-date information. Thank you, San Squand Rebel.
And a thank you to everyone who's left us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it.
If you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.